This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, everybody, I think we've had a lull in people coming forward. So it is 4:32 p.m. on Tuesday, November 24th, and I'm going to call the meeting of the University Assembly to order. So welcome back, everyone. Nice to see you all. And before we move forward, I'm just going to ask if there's any late additions to the agenda. Okay. I'm actually going to also ask Casey if it's all right to go for a roll call. Sorry, I skipped a step.
Okay. Valerie Amer?
Present.
Uchenna Chukwukerri? Hey Depew?
Present.
Nicola Danev?
Present.
Cody Duell?
Here.
Jacob Fite?
I think he's going to be late.
Okay. Brandon Fortenberry?
Present. Sorry, quickly, I did have a couple motions for late additions to the agenda. My computer just cut out and dropped me out of the meeting quickly.
Yeah, Bennett, I'll go back to it right after roll call. I accidentally skipped roll call.
Oh, that's good.
Thomas Fox?
Here. Present.
Jonathan Froelich? Alex Huang?
Here.
Robert Howard? Catherine Huang? Logan Kenny?
Here.
Caroline Levine?
Here.
Jeff P?
Here.
Bennett Scher?
Here.
Lucas Smith?
Here.
Charles Van Loon?
Here.
Pilar Thompson? Jessica Withers?
Here.
Thank you very much. And I just want to confirm that we have quorum.
Yeah, I think there are 15 members present.
Okay. And Jonathan is no longer on the University Assembly. There's a vacancy currently from the Employee Assembly, and Robert Howarth is not going to be in attendance. I had some issues with my computer, so I was unable to unmute.
Oh, sorry, there are actually, I miscounted, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 members. So there are 13 in attendance. Cheers.
So we are good. We only, so out of, and we are currently a body of 19. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to go back to late additions, and Bennett, I'm going to recognize you.
So I have a couple, sorry to everybody. Should I just go one by one, or do one first, call for seconds, do the second, etc.?
I would go one at a time so that people can keep in mind that we already have 5 resolutions on the floor so that we can figure out what we can do capacity-wise for this meeting.
Okay. So the first is I would like to call for a motion to have a roll call vote on all votes during today's meeting. That vote would take place after the closing of this. The second would be to allow for Colin Benedict to finish his presentation about the NYSAC demands after the Big Red Rights presentation right before we go into debate on the resolution 2. The third motion is to recognize the passing of Transgender Day of Remembrance by the chair reading the names of the 37 murdered due to anti-trans violence in the U.S. in 2020 and having those names recorded in the meeting minutes before the discussion about Resolution 4, since Resolution 4 would not have a formal vote in this meeting.
Thank you, Bennett. So if it's all right, now that they're all laid out, if you could, you can move for each one if you want separately. Or you can move to have all of them added to the agenda also.
I'll move one by one and we can see if there's any contention. So I'll move first for the motion to have a vote about roll call voting for today's meeting.
I will second that. And so I'm going to allow discussion. Bennett, if you could just explain maybe a little bit about why you're asking for this meeting for roll call voting, and then the UA can decide based on that.
Yeah, of course. So I just personally think as a matter of principle, all of our votes should be public. At the end of the last meeting, I motioned and we voted to have all of our votes from that meeting made on roll call. And I figured better to put it out at the at the beginning of the meeting so everybody knows exactly what types of votes they're going to be casting. And I did introduce Resolution 3, which we're going to discuss later today, which requires roll call voting for all votes by amending the bylaws.
So just as a clarifier, it would be for every single type of motion, like even small, friendly motions, or for just resolutions. I just want to be clear for today, because would we be doing a roll call vote for things like approval of the minutes? And I just want to clarify how often we'll have roll call voting, because I think that will take a lot of time.
So currently the way it's written, it's anything outside of organizational and executive sessions. So approval of the minutes, all of that, currently as the way that the bill is written, that would be the case. I'm open to amendments on that. I do think with the way that we run the meetings now, specifically via Zoom, that is something that's very easy for us to do, at least for this year, in that the names of who votes is already public knowledge if you go to the meeting or watch a recording of the meeting.
I'm not saying that this is the way to go, but would you be open if people were interested in asking someone to keep track of names with check marks rather than roll call voting, and either screenshotting or making sure that we have names down, or for certain types of voting, and then maybe roll call for resolutions?
Yeah, just so long as there's some way that anyone logging on to the assembly website can go in and see some tally of the votes in some way with names attached, I would be open to that.
Okay, I understand. And I'm going to give the floor to Jacob and then Brandon.
Hey, guys. I apologize. I'm a little bit late today. Unfortunately, I'm driving home. I had a flat tire, so luckily there's Panera Bread here. Want to join the meeting, and I totally agree with Bennett. I think if we're going to hold ourselves accountable, we ought to be responsible and post every single vote on the website. I think that there should be a specific website when you go on the university website that demonstrates how representatives voted, right? I want to see how my congressman votes. Imagine if the United States Congress would not share the votes. I think that every single vote is crucial, and I don't think we should necessarily pick and choose which votes we want to necessarily demonstrate as being important, because then we are choosing, what issues matter to the voters. And that's obviously a very slippery slope. So I think that we should definitely have every single vote be counted and posted as public knowledge on the Cornell University Assembly website.
Thank you, Jacob. Brandon, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I understand the sentiment behind it and think that it is important for folks to be aware of the vote. I would just advocate that doing I'm gathering a roll call is one by one making votes. As you exponentially increase that across all the votes that happen on a regular basis, that's a significant amount of time commitment, especially in this Zoom environment where you can't do hands and no hands. You know, it makes it, you know, in a quick process if you're going to do this for it to be on the record. So I would advocate that we identify a way in which we can capture the information and include it as part of the minutes, but not that we do a singular one by one calling on people to vote process, in my opinion.
So I'm going to quickly jump in and say that this is something that I also advocated for last year. I think at the end of the UA meetings, wanting roll call voting. So I definitely understand the importance. I'm just with Brandon in trying to figure out a way to make it so that all of the information is out there, but it's not a roll call vote for every single small thing that we do, because that's a huge amount of time. So I am open to ideas. I see, Bennett, that your hand's up, so I'm going to give you the floor. Hey, I see you'll be next.
Just to clarify, the Office of the Assemblies is able to see, like, the roll call of the votes as is currently. Like, they have a list of who voted. So then I would be fine amending it in such a way that it makes it clear that it doesn't necessarily have to be a one by one by one vote, just so long as when a vote is cast, the list of yays and nays is explicitly clear to anyone who searches for it.
Hey, the floor is yours.
Hi, would it be possible to record anything from the chat? I know that the Zoom has a functionality where you can download the chat that's in the Zoom and then record that in the minutes, or we could take screenshots of the raise your hand portion of the participant screen. So similar to what Logan said, I think there's definitely a quicker way to do this without having to do roll call one by one. That doesn't seem efficient.
So I'm going to recommend that somebody calls for a vote to add this to the agenda so that we can keep moving as we have guests here.
Yeah, I'd like to propose calling this for a vote, you know, out of respect for the guests here. You know, I know that we have a few presentations we want to get to.
Thank you, Jacob. So Jacob's calling the question. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, seconded by Cody. So all in favor of adding this as a late addition to the agenda after the resolutions, please press the yes button. And then anyone opposed, please press the no button. Okay, so I see 14 yeses, and then if there are any abstentions, please press the yes button as well. Is the current person who has the last yes a yes or an abstention?
Abstention.
Okay, thank you. All right, so Bennett, I'm going to ask that you quickly present your second two items if you can, and if with your second item about the presentation, you could talk about how long the presentation would be.
So I just know that at the end of our last meeting, it was informally sort of implied that Colin would get more time to present on the NYSAC demands. I didn't see that on the agenda today, and figured that we and he specifically asked me if he would be able to get more time. So I would like to propose to give Colin just 10 minutes before the debate starts to be able to go through and finish up his presentation on the NYSAC demands, just so we can have all the information from the group proposing it. And then secondly, the other motion is just acknowledging
Bennett,
Transgender Day of Remembrance with the reading.
I'm sorry, Bennett, would you be able to move for that one?
Yeah, okay. So I'll move to allow for Colin to finish his to allow for Colin 10 minutes after the end of the Big Red Rights presentation to finish his presentation on the NYSAC demands.
Absolutely second.
Seconded by Jacob. Is there any discussion? Okay, so With that, I'm going to go for the vote. So all in favor, please press the yes green button. And if you're opposed, please press the red no button. Sorry about my dog. So I see 16 yeses. I'm going to clear that. If there's any abstentions, please press the button now. And so that's going to move. And then, Bennett, if you could please introduce your third motion to add to the agenda.
Of course. So a Transgender Day of Remembrance was on Friday. It's a day to commemorate and mourn the loss of all transgender individuals who were murdered due to anti-trans violence during the current year. It was started in 1999. So I would like to motion for the first time for the University Assembly to recognize Transgender Day of Remembrance by reading the names of the 37 murdered due to anti-trans violence in 2020, just before discussion about Resolution 4, which is a resolution surrounding Transgender Day of Remembrance. So I'm going to motion to put that to a vote.
And I will second that. And is there any discussion before the vote? All right, seeing none, I am going to now call the vote. So if you're in favor, please press the green button. If you're opposed, please press the red button. See 16 yeses, and abstentions, please press the one abstention as well. So that is going to pass also. And so those are going to be added to the agenda and for business of the day. And I'm going to now move on to approval of the minutes. I'm going to make a recommendation that we approve the August 5th, 2020 minutes, but we table the November 10th, 2020 minutes. The reason I'm recommending tabling the last minutes are because there's a section where it says that I both voted and abstained from something. And then I would also like it to be clarified that in the Codes and Judicial Committee report that Charlie had asked certain individuals to give their opinions, because I'd like that to be clear, because I wouldn't have otherwise spoken. So I'm going to recommend for passing. I'm going to recommend, if somebody is open to that, to call for that motion.
Yeah, I'd second that.
Technically, you'd have to move for it.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah, I may have missed it. Yes, I formally make the motion to move to that proposal.
Thank you, Jacob. I'm sorry, who is seconding? Bennett?
Nick, I'm seconding.
Oh, Nick, thank you. Okay, so we're currently on the table. We are going to be voting through the 8-5 minutes, approving them, and we're tabling the 11-10 minutes for slight corrections to the next meeting. Is there any discussion before we vote on that? All right, seeing none, I'm going to ask that we cast our votes. So in favor, please press the red yes button. Red, green, sorry guys, now I'm starting to lose it. If you're against, please press the red no. And I see 14, and I'm going to clear that out. And if you're abstaining, please press the green button. And so that's 14 to 0 to 1, and that's going to pass also. And with that, I'm going to move on to our business of the day. Let me introduce Amy. I'm looking for you, Amy, through the various pages. Amy Layton is here today with us to quickly present on Big Red Rights. And I am trying to share my screen. One moment, everyone. Okay. Let's see if this works. Okay, this is not working. Casey, by any chance, do you or Gina have the agenda where you could just click on the big red rights link and share that? For some reason, my Zoom isn't letting me share my screen.
Yeah, I do not. I can pull it up real quick.
Just put it in chat.
Or put it in chat, sorry, yeah.
If Casey, if you could share that, I would love that because I don't know what's going on with my Zoom. Okay, and then Amy, if you're ready, the floor is yours.
Hi, everybody. My name is Amy Layton, and I am the program coordinator for Work Life and Human Resources here at Cornell. And I appreciate you giving me some time today to talk to you about Big Red Rights. So this is a program that we are launching on Monday, and we are super excited about it. We had initially designed it specifically for Cornell retirees to have them communicate with school-age kids. But then we got word that Logan had been trying to start something similar, so we joined forces, and now we've expanded our audience. So what it is, it's a Cornell pen pal program that employees, retirees, students, K through 12th grade children of employees, and alumni can all participate in. It's designed to foster relationships across Cornell constituencies and generations, help to reduce feelings of isolation and loneliness, and help children to develop writing and storytelling skills and help increase literacy. So participants can request a pen pal from a specific constituency, or they can just choose to be matched randomly with a pen pal. The pen pals can choose to correspond via email or through regular mail, and they're expected to write to their pen pal a minimum of once per month. As we've talked to various campus groups and committees, we have been receiving a lot of wonderful feedback and energy about the program. So hopefully this will translate into a large number of participants that will join us. Mary Opperman supports our program 100%, and it is co-sponsored by Human Resources and Cornell Retiree Associations. And Logan has been an integral part in our planning committee, so we would love to have the UA support as well. Are there any questions?
Thank you so much, Amy. So as Amy said, I've been a part of a committee. I think there are about 5 or 6 of us, and this has been ongoing for the past couple of weeks, and I was really excited to hear that there were other individuals interested in connecting people during the pandemic when there's a lot of isolation. And Casey, if you could stop sharing the screen, please. If anyone has any questions or comments for Amy, now is a fantastic time. I see Hey.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for coming and sharing that. I know through the priorities poll, we've been collecting data about priorities, and one of the major issues that we've discovered is mental health, and I feel like this program might be a good way for us to share ways to be connected, be engaged with one another during this time. So if you have any resources that you'd be able to share with me so that I can bring it back to the employee assembly and sort of promote this as well, I think that'd be really great, because I think it would be a really good program that would help us kind of feel more connected to each other through this sort of program. So thank you for sharing, and I look forward to reading more about it. And if you have anything to share, please pass it forward.
Absolutely. We had gotten a lot of feedback that a lot of the Cornell retirees are struggling, especially with the isolation. So that's why we initially came up with this idea. And then Logan said that it's not just retirees, there's students and a lot of different people that are struggling. So hopefully we can help with that.
So yeah, I invited Amy here today to not only just introduce the program, but I'm not sure what level of support the University Assembly could potentially give to this program, but I figured potentially we could send it out at some point, or like attach it to minute or packet or agenda. I'm not quite sure. So I wanted to also open that on the floor for ideas, if there's anything that we could do to help further the initiative.
I mean, I'll move at the very least to have the presentation slide put in the minutes, so that can be.
So Bennett, you cut out, but you're moving to have the presentation slide put into the minutes for today's meeting, correct? Okay.
Yes.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right, so I think that's a lovely idea. So I'm gonna call for the vote then. All in favor, please press the green yes button. Any opposed, press the red no. All right, 15 yes, 0 no. I'm gonna call for abstentions. Just the one, which is me, since I'm technically a part of this. I figured I'd abstain, but I guess I didn't need to. So we're at least going to move this in the minutes. I think that maybe in the future we could figure out if there's another avenue in which the UA could potentially help spread this along, even if it's through our constituent groups. So Amy, I want to thank you for coming on a Tuesday evening and for making this happen. I think it's going to be really fantastic, and I can't wait to sign up and continue being a part of it. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, and Colin, are you, I'm looking through my participants right now. Colin, if you are here, you have the floor.
Hello, thank you.
Hi.
Hi, can I share my screen?
Casey, would you be able to give him permission to share his screen? Thank you.
I believe if I make him a host or a co-host, that should give him the permissions, right? Nope, unless.
Okay, so hi everyone. I was here 2 weeks ago. I presented on the Morrill Land Grant Act and basically how the endowment of Cornell University ties into acts of Indigenous dispossession and attempted acts of Indigenous genocide. So today I'm just going to take a few minutes before you guys go into discussion about this resolution to go over the specific points of the resolution and hopefully answer any questions before we get into it. So before I get started, I'd just like to issue a land acknowledgement of the Dragona Lakuga Nation. This statement is available on the American Indian and Indigenous Studies Program website. Basically, the purpose of a land acknowledgement is to acknowledge the territory that we currently occupy and acknowledge its ties to the Indigenous community that historically occupied that land and still occupies that land to this day. So Cornell University is located on the traditional homes of the Cuyahoga Nation. Cuyahoga are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayakono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. So this is all the stuff we went through last time. Getting right into the specific demands that are included in the resolution that you'll be voting on in a second. I just wanted to go through each of the points real quick and hopefully clarify some things for you guys. So we're basically just advocating for increased resources for Indigenous students, staff, and faculty, as well as some other stuff that I'll get into in a second. But the first three are basically what that is about. So number one, the American Indian and Indigenous Studies program shall transition to department status within the next 4 years. So the American Indian and Indigenous Studies program was founded in 1983. It's been a premier academic body for Indigenous studies since it was founded. It was founded out of the activism of Indigenous students and has really served as a home for Indigenous students throughout the time that it's been part of Cornell's campus. So we're hoping to see that become expanded to department status. We also want more faculty, which is point number two. Increased funding shall be granted to the AISP for the recruitment and retention of new Indigenous faculty to support the transition of the program to department status. Number three, we want more students here. We want more funding for increased efforts of recruitment and retention across the United States and Canada, as well as focusing on Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander students as well. These numbers are not entirely indicative of the total Native American student population because Native American identity is a highly complex and nuanced thing that I don't really want to get into at the moment, but these were the numbers that we had. So this is what's here. I think they get the point across that we simply want to see more Indigenous students enrolled at Cornell University, and we want to see increased efforts towards retention. So as it currently stands, we have an amazing staff member in the American Indian and Indigenous Studies program who serves as a student support specialist. Her name is Wava Waterman Lyons. She puts in a lot of work into everything that's already listed here. We're just hoping to get her some help by separating the duties of retention and recruitment and hiring an additional staff member. We also want recruitment to specifically focus on Indigenous students from communities historically affected and or displaced by the Morrill Land Grant Act. So that's basically getting into what I covered at the last meeting. Anyone coming from a community that was displaced by the Cornell land grab after the Morrill Land Grant Act was passed in 1862. We also want any student coming from one of those communities to receive a free education regardless of field of study. So point number four, this is specifically to address the unique mental health struggles that affect Indigenous student staff and faculty. We're hoping for an Indigenous therapist to be hired by Cornell Health. All those numbers are, that's a repeat, moving on. Number five, the university shall include a land acknowledgement of the Gayagono, the Kiwiga before all Ithaca-based university affiliated events. That would basically look exactly the same as the land acknowledgement that I gave before starting this presentation. Like I already said, that acknowledgement is available on the American Indian and Indigenous Studies Program website. That's a working land acknowledgement that they sent this to the Gayagono leadership for final approval. And I'm sure they'll let everyone know when the final draft is completed. So yeah, number six, the university shall put out a statement acknowledging the amount of land acquired, interest accrued, and mineral rights received through the Morrill Land Grant Act and thus through Indigenous dispossession. The university shall commit to a policy of refraining from mineral and resource extractions on lands gained through the Morrill Land Grant Act. So specifically with that, not only did Cornell University gain almost 1 million acres of land through the Morrill Land Grant Act, they also gained a currently unknown number of mineral rights as well. So how that works is basically, you know, even though the university might not own the land any longer, like say in Wisconsin or the 14 other states that it grabbed land in, that it gained through acts of Indigenous dispossession, but on that land, say a gold mine was discovered in Wisconsin, and you know, if Cornell University had the mineral rights to that, then that would be theirs. So we want to know how much mineral rights the university has, and we also want the university to refrain from any further mineral and resource extraction on lands gained through the Moral Land Rent Act. Number 7, the university shall return all lands in the Ithaca area not immediately utilized for educational purposes to the traditional Gayatgonal leadership. Emphasis here on the traditional Gayatgonal leadership. We do not want the land returns to the BIA recognized leadership of the Gayatgonal Nation for a slew of issues that I won't get into at the moment. And also with this is basically our land back clause. I've gotten a lot of questions with this in the past. Like, people are wondering what it means. Like, are we giving up the arts quad? Questions like that. So basically what this means is that Cornell has hundreds and hundreds of acres of land spread in the Ithaca area. We're just looking for some of that to return to the traditional Gayatgonal leadership to support their efforts to reclaim a small portion of land for themselves in the Ithaca area. So yeah, that's what that's about. The university shall also build and maintain channels of communication with the traditional Gayatgonal leadership until the land process is complete. So this will probably be very collaborative, hopefully between the Gayatgonal leadership, the American Indian and Indigenous Studies program, and the university administration. Number 8, to ensure that all students have a basic understanding of gravity of Indigenous genocide and their own positionality on stolen Indigenous land, the university will mandate that all students take an introductory Indigenous Studies course. So this basically is to ensure that all students know where they are, how the university that they're attending came to occupy that current space, as well as to give them a baseline understanding of how to navigate relationships with Indigenous peoples elsewhere, because this specifically pertains, like, especially to the field of academia, because no matter where you are in the world, you're on someone's Indigenous territory. And having a baseline understanding of how to navigate the relationships with the people who historically occupied that land and to this day still occupy that land is crucial to being able to conduct ethical research in that space. So just based off of that principle alone, Indigenous studies ties into literally every field of academic study that you can possibly imagine. So that's the purpose of that clause. Number 9, to ensure that monuments to historical figures of colonization and violence against Indigenous peoples are removed, the university shall rename Moral Hall on the Arts Quad. So this is just basically to ensure that Cornell University is able to create spaces where students can be educated about the history behind these institutions, which oftentimes is very ugly and is based on Indigenous displacement and genocide. So creating spaces where they can be educated about this kind of stuff without glorifying the historical figures who were responsible for those acts of violence. So that's basically what that is. And number 10, to ensure that all of these demands are met, we're calling for the reestablishment of the Ad Hoc Committee on Native American Affairs, which historically existed prior to the birth, I guess, of the American Indian Program in 1983. So the Ad Hoc Committee on Native American Affairs was originally established in 1975. And it was a coalition of current Indigenous students, faculty at the university, and local Indigenous leadership who were trying to bring about the formation of an American Indian program at Cornell. And this committee was really key to ensuring that the American Indian program at Cornell was founded in 1983. So we're hoping to reestablish this committee to ensure that there are constantly open channels of communication between Indigenous students, staff, faculty, local Indigenous leadership, and the university administration to really ensure that each of these demands are met, because we recognize that this is not a quick process by any means, but we're hoping to see each of these demands met. If not now, then hopefully in the near future and as soon as possible. So As far as community supports, we've got quite a lot of that since the demands were released in the form of a petition on Indigenous Peoples Day, which was October 14th of this year. We've received over 22 organization sponsorships. So these are all undergraduate and graduate student organizations. We have all five ALANA organizations on here, which are the major multicultural undergraduate student organizations on Cornell's campus, as well as a wide diversity of other student organizations who have decided to support our demands and would like to see them implemented by the Cornell University administration. The petition that we've been circulating, oh, these numbers actually aren't accurate. We're currently at over 900 total signatures. So that's split between undergraduates, graduate students, faculty members, staff, and alumni, as well as community members not affiliated with Cornell. So these numbers all went up, basically. But we've seen a wide scale of support from the Cornell community and outside the Cornell community as well, which is really awesome to see. So there's a broad spectrum of community support for these demands. And yeah, we're currently hoping to enter into talks with the university administration about their implementation as soon as possible. So if we could get your guys' support going into these talks, that would be extremely helpful. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Colin, for being here 2 weeks ago and again today. So I'm going to open the floor for any questions for Colin. Tom.
Hello, Colin. Thank you for that. I'm a faculty member here, and I have to say I'm simply trying to get my head around the logistics of teaching a course for about 3,500 freshmen that's required. And I'm wondering how you envisage this actually happening.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for the question. So that's something that's come up in the past. This has already been basically instituted at a couple of different institutions. The most recent one that comes to mind is at Trent University on the Canadian side, which instituted a similar course mandating a introductory Indigenous Studies course for all first-year students. So they were able to do it quite successfully. So we would draw from that plan, as well as the plans of other institutions. It would be a highly collaborative effort, obviously, between the deans of all the colleges, the American Indian and Indigenous Studies program, the university administration. So we recognize that there's going to be a whole lot of work that has to go into this, but we feel that it's definitely worth doing to ensure that all the students who come into Cornell leave having a basic understanding of their positionality on Indigenous land and how to navigate those relationships with Indigenous people. So, yeah.
Jacob.
Hey, Colin. I hope you guys can hear me. I'm just driving right now, but of course, you know, we are glad to have you here at this time of year, Thanksgiving. A lot of people don't understand the magnitude of everything that goes into that holiday. You know, I, growing up as a white kid in suburban America, didn't really understand the gravity of it until really coming to Cornell. And so that, I think, really backs up the necessity of having these kind of courses offered for students here at Cornell. I've been lucky enough to take a few of the Indigenous Studies courses. And to Tom's last question, I believe that you stated earlier, perhaps in the last meeting, that there would be multiple courses offered for students to take, right? So it wouldn't just be one massive class of you know, 3,000 something students. It would be multiple courses that could be spread across the different colleges, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if you can add a little bit of clarity to that, but of course, I'm very supportive of this. You know, I think this is a no-brainer in my mind. I think that we'd be hypocritical not to implement something like this.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Sorry, I should have definitely went more into that. So, yeah, we're just hoping to. There are already multiple introductory Indigenous Studies courses offered at Cornell. There's one offered in the fall semester, another offered in the spring semester. So we're hoping that after the American Indian and Indigenous Studies program transfers to department status, after more Indigenous faculty are hired, and after we actually have the bandwidth to offer that kind of a service to the massive freshman class of Cornell University, then we can successfully implement it. But there's definitely a lot of steps that have to be met before that. So it'll definitely be something that is more of a long-term goal, but we definitely think it's worth doing. And yeah, I was hoping for some time during their first year at Cornell, but we're open to negotiating with that as well. It could turn into just some time during their time at Cornell, like during their 4 years, stuff like that. And I also just want to highlight that because Indigenous Studies is so inherently intersectional, that the issues with fulfilling academic requirements, in my mind, really shouldn't be an issue. So, yeah.
And I just wanted to draw everybody's attention. Thank you, Caroline, for letting us know that two Indigenous individuals joined the English department. I think you said yesterday. Yeah, so that's fantastic. And thank you for letting us all know. And yeah, you're free to, I see that you're unmuted, so feel free to speak.
I just wanted to say one is not herself Indigenous, but studies the intersection of Indigenous and Asian American studies. The other is in fact Indigenous, just to be clear.
Okay, thank you so much. That's really great news to let everybody know, and fantastic along with this. In the interest of time, I'm not seeing any other hands up. I'm going to open the floor for a motion, if there is one.
Do we have to motion to end Colin's presentation before we can and like start debate before we can vote, or can we motion just to go straight to a vote?
I believe.
Would there be any opposition in motioning to go to a vote?
I believe that we can say that Colin's presentation is done. And by me saying, is there any motions on the table? I think we're opening up the floor.
All right, so I'll motion to vote on affirming resolution 2.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Seconded by Jessica. Okay, any deliberation before the vote? All right, seeing none, I'm going to ask that everyone cast their votes. Once again, green button for yes, red button for no.
Sorry, Brandon had his hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry, everybody. I am going to ask Brandon now. I'm sorry, Brandon. I didn't.
Yeah, thanks, Logan. I just wanted to speak about, you know, there's a lot of information, a lot of items on here, and I think that there is absolutely merit and gravity to them, and would state that I think that some of them combining together may be a challenging resolution. There's a lot of different aspects, even to speak to the ability to hosting this course for the number of students, looking at the information around the land and the profits there. It seems to me, from my perspective, to be a lot wrapped into a singular resolution. So I want to get from Colin sort of what the goals and intentions are and hopes are in looking at whoever else might want to speak to that about the resolution, and it's, you know, it is quite a lot of information in a lot.
So for that, I would need Bennett to recall his motion to vote.
I'll recall the motion.
And then I'll need a second on that, I believe, also. And Jacob seconds that. So actually, I'm going to clear the votes. Please press the no button if you're opposed to recalling the vote. And if not, we're going to recall and open discussion back up so that Colin can answer to Brandon. So seeing none, Colin, the floor is yours again.
Okay, yeah. I'm not entirely sure I understand the question, but I'm going to give it my best shot anyways. There is a lot of stuff in this resolution. It all needs to happen, and it all needs to happen as soon as possible. I'm not really sure how to go about answering that question, or really what the question was. So, I guess...
Brandon, would you be able to restate for Colin?
Yeah, I would just like to restate, if there is opportunity to, or openness to having not all items be accepted, because, you have a lot of information in there, and some of those to the point of, what are academic spaces, even that being defined, because, would as the leader, as the representative for student and campus life, we have what could or could not be defined as academic spaces in our mix. And so just a question of concern as it pertains to that. And there are several items in there that, while I understand the importance and the gravity of them, providing better clarity would, for me personally, provide a better understanding is if there is the ability to parse out some of these pieces. If it's an all or nothing without full clarity on many of these items, it's very challenging to move forward on some of them.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for clarifying. So with this resolution, we're definitely expecting the administration to push back on several items that are listed here. However, moving into the negotiations with administration, we would like to see the university assembly, which, is not the final say on like any of these issues, really have a show of support for the entirety of the points of the resolution listed as they currently are, because while we are open to negotiation on several of the points, going into that negotiation, we want to maintain a strong front and ensure that, how do I say this? Ensure that going into negotiations that we're able to push for all of this stuff the way that it is, Does that make sense?
So everyone, I'm going to ask, because we're starting to really run low on time, that if you have your hand up, that it's like a very pertinent question. I'm also going to say that there's the option to table this if people want to potentially workshop. There's the option to vote on it now, and I don't want to silence anyone, but at the same time, we are on resolution 1 of 5, so I'm a little concerned about time, and I'm letting you all know that I'm going to call for an executive session before Charlie leaves, and that the agenda is going to get switched a little bit, so I just need to keep us moving. So I'm going to call on Jeff and then Bennett, and then I'm hoping that we can get some sort of vote and keep moving.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it short. And this is not really a question, but it's kind of just a follow-up to Brandon's question. I do think that there's a lot of value with this resolution, not necessarily in its feasibility, because I think that's not dependent on us as the UA, but more so the message it comes. This is the same an idea in line with what we had with divestment last semester, right? We didn't have the specifics involved, but in terms of how we want to go forward with the university, that's with us to communicate with, right, for these these leaders on campus to work out with the administration for these next steps. I do personally find a lot of value with this. I did my undergraduate university education in Canada, and this was Indigenous understanding of the land I was on as a visitor was instrumental for how I developed as an undergraduate student. So just want to put that kind of opinion there as well. And thank you, Colin, for the presentation.
Thank you, Jeff. So I'm going to recognize Bennett.
So I agree with everything Jeff said. We're not necessarily voting on the feasibility of all of these things. I wouldn't want us to hamper NYSAC going into any of these negotiations before the negotiations actually happen. I think it's a great list of things that definitely all should be brought to the table. I also want to recognize that I'm almost positive the SA passed this resolution as is, without any adjustments. I was going to motion to open the conversation to community input because I know NYSAC sent out this link, so I'm sure a couple of our guests are here on behalf of NYSAC as well. But seeing as to how we're short on time, I'm going to motion that the chat be included in either the minutes or the chat be recorded for this meeting and allow for members of the community to issue their support or opposition to the measure within the chat. And also motion to table the vote until after resolution 3. To give the members of the community that are here time to express their support or opposition in the chat so that we can all see it and then have a vote after resolution 3. So the vote would still happen today.
The chat is already being recorded in the minutes. We voted on that in a previous meeting, but there is now a motion on the table move this resolution until after the vote on resolution 3. So is there a second to that?
I'll second.
And if not, I can motion to have...
There's a second on the floor. So all in favor, okay. Please press the green button. Opposed, press the red no button. Okay, so 16 yes, 1 no, and if there's an abstention, please press the yes button.
Okay. I'm in support of it. I can't press the button, but I'm in support.
Thank you, Jacob. Okay, so now I am going to move on to resolution 3, which is also sponsored by Bennett, and it's bylaw changes to require roll call voting. So Bennett, the floor is yours again.
Sorry, I also just want to acknowledge to all the people who were, because I know NYSAC and I advertised that there would be community forum for this resolution. So for all the people who were expecting community forum, please put your comments in the chat so that we're all aware of them before we go into the vote. The vote will happen today. As for resolution 3, as I stated before when we were talking about roll call voting for this meeting specifically, resolution 3 just requires that and acknowledges the general student discontent with shared governance, specifically regarding transparency and accountability, in that there have been various instances where speaking from a student's perspective, people have been disappointed with the outcome of votes and then have been unable to hold their representatives accountable because they don't know how they voted due to shared ballots. So I think that that's in part of the reason why Cornell has such a hard time turning out people to actually go and vote for elections. So I, during the resolution, laid out the different voter turnouts for the various different elections this year and last year. For instance, SA and UA for undergraduates was 16.85% to 29.77%. And that was actually the highest that it was amongst all of the constituent groups, the lowest being about 9% for the graduate student trustee race. So I think that it's important that we begin reforms as a body to address the concerns of people and sort of get at why people aren't feeling engaged with shared governance when it's our particular mission of the UA as per our charter. The object of the assembly is to improve and sustain the involvement of the campus community in the governance of campus affairs affecting the broad campus community by establishing open, effective, and efficient channels of communication between and amongst the community and university administration. But if we don't have those open channels of communication, then what are we doing as a body? So that's why I'm proposing this. I hear that roll call voting might be difficult in terms of just time going forward. So I would be open to amendments to maybe say like the publishing of a list on every vote. So we can do the block voting as we have been doing, and then the publishing of a list would be accompanied on our minutes. But I just feel as though our constituents deserve to know how we voted on every vote. And as Jacob said, I don't think any vote is too small to the point where we can decide what our constituents should and shouldn't.
Thank you, Bennett. So I'm going to quickly ask Casey or Gina, when we vote via the yes-no function, is that a feasible way for us to get names to votes rather than having to do a roll call calling everybody's name with every single vote?
I don't believe so. When you raise your hand, usually we go in and we just take a picture of who voted and what there was a yes or a no. But most of the times the votes disappear fairly quickly, so we can only get the count rather than everyone, just because there's a list of people and we just scroll and take individual images. But I believe we can look into that, but I think that it's not officially recorded.
So if we were able to spend more time potentially waiting for that picture or count, that's a possibility that we could explore?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Charlie, the floor is yours.
In the Senate, we just post your vote in chat. It only takes like 30 seconds for 100 people to vote, and it's a no-brainer. It's perfectly adequate.
So I'm going to say that's a very great idea also, in the interest of time and getting votes recorded, to have votes be recorded in the chat if people are interested in that. And if Bennett, I know you're the sponsor of this, so this would be you making that decision if you would be comfortable changing that language. And I'm going to now call on Pilar quickly.
Thanks, Charlie, for that suggestion. Bennett, I think you'll get a lot of buy-in from us if we can see that this isn't a logistical added extra step, whether it is for the membership as well as the Office of the Assembly. You know, again, transparency is good. And if we were all physically present and these meetings were open, anyone would be seeing a lot of our voting. So I think you would get a lot more buy-in. One other question I did have, we're recording these meetings. If we're recording these meetings, in theory, you could also go back and look at the images, in a sense, or the voting as well. So if you're open, Bennett, to whichever, whether Charlie's or some sort of review of the voting, I think you'll get a lot of us buying in.
I would be open to the voting in the chat. My intention was to keep this beyond just this year, and I don't know what the state of the assembly is going to look like in years to come when we're not on Zoom and how to best go about doing that. If the body thinks it's okay, I would be open to amending the resolution, having it posted by Friday, so there's still a week before bylaw changes, to allow for it to be voted at the next meeting, specifying just for this year, votes will take place in the chat and be recorded in the minutes. If that seems like a more accessible answer for the time being. And then this is something that we can revisit in the spring with regards to how we want to do this going forward when we have a better idea of what the university assembly is going to look like in years to come. Because ideally this would be something that going forward is something that the university assembly would keep doing. I don't want it to just be something this year.
Gina.
The university closes tomorrow for the holiday, so nothing would happen until next week, if that just for your timeline.
Pilar, is your hand still raised? Okay. So I think that voting in the chat via Zoom makes sense. It also makes sense to look over after the fact, but that's also a lot of work for Casey. So this is not a perfect system on Zoom right now. So I'm not quite sure what I think the best avenue would be. So I'm open to more feedback or if, yeah.
Yeah, but I'd like to make a quick comment, if I might. Yeah, I mean, I think as I expressed earlier, this is definitely something that, you know, is important. I know, Logan, you were expressing that earlier as well, that you had been pushing for something similar last year, I believe you mentioned. Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer that we should have accountability. I don't think anyone's denying that. Of course, I understand that there's infrastructural issues that go along with this and how we can make this practically work. Without adding significant responsibility or significant burden on you know, the Office of the Assembly and so forth. I think that, you know, this is just a piece of a larger problem regarding shared governance. I think that Bennett is accurate and right to mention the low voter turnout, because that also, I believe, is a good indication of the lack of faith that many of the students have in our governance, in our shared governance. And you know, I would be very open to working with Bennett and proposing some sort of a oversight committee. I know on the SA we had some sort of committee like that, you know, I was actually a member of, where we would research and ensure that the members were held accountable and make sure that votes were present. Now, we did not necessarily reach the level of transparency we had hoped for, but I think that we can do something like that on the University Assembly and incorporate perhaps community members to get involved in their perspective, and create a better website for the University Assembly that's more user-friendly and provides greater transparency into our operations and our members' stances on key issues.
So this is a resolution on the floor for the UA's consideration at our next meeting. So I'm going to recommend that we just vote one way or another, and that vote, whoever passes that motion, includes working with Bennett and other members of the University Assembly to try to figure out the best and most efficient way to do this via Zoom so that we can continue moving on. So I recommend some sort of motion, please.
Can I motion?
Yeah, you can motion for your resolution to be on the table.
Okay. Yeah, I'll motion to move to a vote to bring this resolution up for discussion at next meeting, with the acknowledgement that further discussion will be had and amendments possibly made between now and then to make this more logistically sound.
Is there a second?
Seconded
by Pilar. Is there any discussion? Okay. Jacob, I see your hand up. Is that for discussion? Okay. So all in favor, please press the yes button. Anyone opposed, please press the red no button. Okay, so we have 18 yes, 0 no. I'm going to clear this for right now. And anyone with abstentions, please press the green yes button. Okay. So that passes, and that will be on our agenda for our next meeting. So I am now going to bring us back to resolution 2, and thank you everyone who have been writing in the chat. I'm really sorry that there wasn't an open public forum space at the UA. I wasn't aware that that was promised to anyone, and I deeply apologize that they're just, as you can tell, we're running very short on time already, but I thank you all for writing in the chat, and I've been following it. And so for this, I'm going to recommend that someone makes some type of motion.
Motion to vote to affirm the resolution.
Second.
All right. Any further discussion before the vote? Seeing none, I'm going to call the vote. All in favor of passing this resolution, please press the green button. Anyone opposed, please press the red now. All right. I've got 18 yes, 0 no, and then anyone abstaining, please press the green button. And with that, it passes. So thank you, Colin, for coming here. Thank you, Uche, for co-sponsoring. And we are going to... I am going to make two recommendations. So the first recommendation is going to be that we return to, that someone moves to return to item B, which I overlooked, and that we have an additional meeting on December 1st at the same time, so that we can, one, pass through resolutions that are potentially being tabled today if we run out of time, or two, that are going to be brought up for discussion again, and so that meeting can solely almost be focused on the code, because I'm hoping that we have comments by then. So I'm going to recommend that somebody moves to add an additional meeting, special meeting, I guess, to the agenda for the UA this year. And I'm sorry, that will mean we'll meet 3 weeks in a row, and I promise this won't be this won't be the next semester.
Logan, I'll motion for a December 1st meeting.
Thank you, Brandon. Is there a second?
A second.
I just want to clarify that the resolution that we put off today, so resolution 3, would be up for consideration at the meeting after December 1st, or the one
it would now be up for December 1st week today. And so that was seconded by Pilar. Is there any discussion about adding a December 1st meeting where we might have some of these resolutions that might have to be tabled depending on time, and then it'll be primarily a code discussion? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to call the vote. So all in favor of a meeting on December 1st, please press the yes button. Anyone opposed, please press the red no. Okay, it looks like 15 yes and no, no. I'm going to clear it. Any abstentions, please press yes. So one abstention. And so with that, it was passed, and we will.
Sorry, my computer cut me out again. I was.
Bennett, you cut out again while you were talking.
My computer keeps locking me out of this meeting for some reason. I was a yes.
So that's a yes, not an abstention. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay, so the next thing that I'm going to do, because I know that Charlie needs to leave, is I am going to ask that someone move that we go into a quick executive session of the voting members of the UA to discuss the interim OJA position.
Logan, I'll motion to go into executive session.
Thank you, Brandon. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion? Seeing none, I'm going to ask that you cast your vote. Okay, so I see 15 yeses, no noes, and I'm going to abstain. That's going to pass. So I'm going to ask Casey to move all of the voting UA members into a separate breakout space. And everyone, it should take, I'm hoping, somewhere between 5 to 10 minutes.
I'm so sorry. I realized that in order to do a pre-assigned breakout room, we have to have them assigned beforehand. And although I edited it during the meeting, I don't think it's syncing. So I don't believe that I can move you into a breakout room. My apologies.
Let me see if we can do it manually. Hang on just a second.
Okay, and then I'm also going to open that if people would be interested in having the JCC and the current OJA in the executive session, that can be a motion, but that's up for the UA to decide. Nick.
I'd like to motion to invite Barb and Marissa to the executive session.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
I'd like to ask for an amendment to include Christina. All members of the OJA and the JCC.
I'm wondering about, I'm sorry, could I be recognized?
Yeah, Barb.
I don't know what the subject is, and so I'm not sure whether it's appropriate for, I appreciate.
I personally think that it's probably not appropriate for the OJA, JCC, or Christina to be included, but I wanted to give that opportunity because it's going to be about what happens when you leave your post, Barb, and the potential different type of search committee and how it might be different than previous years.
So I would just feel uncomfortable. It seems inappropriate for our office to be involved in that conversation. I very much appreciate the sentiment, but I would respectfully decline.
Noted. And Nick, I see your hand back up.
Yeah, I will retract my motion.
Thank you.
All right, okay, I have it. Could you say who was added to the breakout room once again, outside of the UA members?
It's gonna just be the UA members.
Okay.
Plus Nick.
Yes.
Yes. So everyone with the UA addition to their name will go into this room. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Casey. Okay, I see that people are still trickling in. I'm going to officially say that executive session is over, and there was a discussion about changes that are going to happen in the OJA office once Barb leaves her position, and that information is going to come to light through the administration rather than the university assembly, but we were given the opportunity to discuss the changes that are happening in the office.
Logan, I'd like to make a motion to extend the meeting.
Brandon, by how long approximately?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I'd say we're going to need at least 15 minutes.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor to extend by 15 minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a second. All in favor, please press the yes button. I also, Casey, could you check if we have, we do still have quorum. It looks like if we got 11 votes, we just made it. Actually, no, because now we have less members, so I think that our majority is a little bit less. But okay, so that passed. So we're extending by 15 minutes. It's 6:04 right now. So we're going to have a meeting on December 1st. So I say that we figure out if there are resolutions people want to, I mean, we can table all of the resolutions until next week. We can vote on some of them I see that Bennett's hand is up, so Bennett, I'll recognize you.
So seeing as to how we already voted at the beginning to do the reading and have those names mentioned into the minutes, I'm waiving December 1st for discussion then, so I will motion to table Resolution 4 to December 1st.
Second.
So there's a second. Bennett, I'm going to ask a quick question. So tabling Resolution 4 is not tabling our vote to have the names read today, correct? It's just the resolution?
So we voted at the beginning that the names would be read and put on the minute.
Okay.
That's what happened today. Resolution 4 will just... the actual resolution will be voted.
Okay, so I'm just going to clarify. We put that we would consider reading the names. So I need a formal motion to have permission to read the names, technically.
Okay, then. Yeah.
So I.
Okay, I'll then I will quickly retract my. Yeah. Yeah, quickly rescind my motion to vote, put in a motion to have the names read and inserted on the minutes by the chair.
Is there a second? I'll second it. I'm glad.
Second. Second.
I beat you to it, Jacob. So is there any quick discussion? Seeing none, I am going to call for a vote.
I'm in support of it.
Thank you, Jacob. So that's 12 in support. I'm going to clear that. If anyone abstains, please press the yes button. One abstention.
I vote. I was meaning to vote. Sorry. Oh. Things are, you know, chaotic.
Sorry, Pilar's abstention is actually a yes, Casey, for the record. And so with that, I am going to gladly read out all of the names right now for us for the minutes. So Unieski Carrie Herrera, 39. Angel Unique, 25. Sarah Blackwood, 39. Brooklyn Deshauna, 20. Felicia Harris, 33. Michelle Michelin Ramos Vargas, 33. Mia Green, 29. Arian Burnett, 37. Key Sam, 24. Leah Rayshawn Day, 28. Aha Raquel Roan Spears, 32. Kiasha D. Hardy, 22. Dior H. Ova or Tiffany Harris, 32. Marilyn Cazares, 22. Summer Taylor, 24. Bree Black, 27. Shockey Peters, 32. Mercy Mack, 22. Brayla Stone, 17. Brian Egypt Powers, 43. Selena Reyes Hernandez, 37. Jane Thompson, 33. Rhea Milton, 25. Dominique Remy Fells, 27. Tony McDade, 38. Helle J. O'Regan, 20. Nina Pop, 28. Penelope Diaz Ramirez, 31. Layla Palias Sanchez, 21. Serena Angelique Villaquez Ramos, 32. Johanna Metzger, no age given. Lexi, 33. Monica Diamond, 34. Scott or Scott Lynn DeVore, 51. Yampi Mendez Orocho, 19. Nulisi Alexa Luciano Ruiz, 28. And Dustin Parker, 25. So I wanted to thank Bennett for bringing this to the UA for the first time and also for allowing us this opportunity. And I'm really glad that this resolution is going to be considered by us. And I think it's really important that this is the first time, and I hope it's not the last time that the UA does this. So thank you. So,
sounds good.
Yes, Bennett.
I was supposed to table resolution for next week.
Second.
Okay, so there is a motion and a second on the floor to table resolution 4 to next week. Is there discussion? I am going to quickly add discussion that there's just some clarity in the wording about whether this is a requirement of the chair for years to come or if it's recommended, so that we understand whether we're changing the position of the chair, because each year the chair changes, so it might potentially end up being a bylaw change or a charter change. So just to look into that. But besides that, that's the only comment I wanted to make. Seeing no other discussion, all in favor of tabling to the next meeting, please vote. So 14 yeses, no noes, and if you're abstaining, please press the red button. Okay, seeing that. So the next item on the agenda is resolution 5, and I am going to recommend that Hey, if she's willing, give a very, very brief description, and that we vote to vote this through at the next meeting, because I think that the language was fairly clear, and I'm hoping that everyone got a chance to read it, because it's been circulated a lot since it's a employee assembly resolution.
Sure. Very quickly, this is just a formal recognition of the response of Cornell University students to COVID-19. I know that there was some skepticism in the beginning of the semester in regards to how capable students would be to adhere to certain measures and be able to follow the necessary guidelines. And I think to our, surprise and to our gratitude, I think students have done a really good job adhering to, the measures. And that has been really great for us to be able to continue the work that we do and to have the financial impacts be minimized by our efforts in being able to keep this campus open for the students, for the community. So I think there's some recognition that should be shared with students for their efforts in following the rules and doing what's right. So the employee assembly unanimously passed this. We have shared it with different publications, with the undergraduate newsletter, the grad newsletter, the law school. So we've really tried to kind of share this appreciation broadly for students so that they're aware that, what they're doing keeps us all safe, the staff, faculty themselves, the broader community, people living outside of Tompkins County. So I'm happy to provide this resolution, and then I would motion to table this resolution for a vote next week, but it's very straightforward.
I'll second the motion to table.
Thank you. So there is a motion and a second on the floor. I want to open the floor if there's any discussion. Seeing none, I ask that you cast your vote for this to be voted for consideration at our next meeting. Okay. 14 yes, 0 no. If you're abstaining, please press the red button. Seeing none, we are moving on, and that will be on the table next week on Tuesday. Thank you, Hey Hey, for co-sponsoring with the UA exec board. I see that people are leaving. We have committee reports and assembly reports. We have technically another 4 minutes left in the meeting. So please do let me know how people would like to proceed. If there's anyone, like particularly, I think that the Codes and Judicial Committee, it might be important to get on the record just recent changes that have happened. If people are okay with that. So I recommend a motion to suspend formal committee reports and assembly and liaison reports for this meeting until next week and allow Brandon to give a brief update on the code. If anyone is open to that. I can't make a motion, but if somebody wants to move that.
Oh, okay. I'll motion to suspend all committee updates until next meeting, with the exception of the CJ.
Second.
Okay. And is there any discussion? And if there are groups, if there are other committees or constituent groups that have things that they want to share, I really don't want to silence your bodies at all. So I'm happy to continue extending the meeting. So this is a place for discussion. So before we vote on that, I just wanted to throw that out. And I see that Nick has his hand raised.
Yeah, I've been asked by the GPSA to just share one update, but I can just type that in the chat so that I don't waste everyone's time.
Okay, so that works for me. If that works for other people, if there are pertinent things that you would like the UA to know that you'd be comfortable putting in the chat, I see that Kat also has to leave quickly, so she won't be able to give an update for the essay. So I don't see any hands raised for discussion on this. So all in favor of just allowing Brandon to speak and then closing out the meeting, please vote yes. And if you're opposed, please press no. Okay. So we've got 12 yeses, 0 noes. If you're abstaining, please press the yes. One abstention. So, Brandon, the floor is very quickly yours.
All right, I will keep it brief, and in the sake of time, I won't read through the document, but I would encourage folks to read through the document attached to the agenda, the CJC recommendations final document, which provides at the top of it the items which are in support of or resolved by the CJC to be in support of or recommending. And the items at the bottom of that document are pertaining to those that were reviewed and seen as recurring themes. Please note the four bulleted items at the first are the support or recommendations. The lower items are not necessarily those that are supported or recommended by the CJC, but that they are noted as recurring comments through the public comments through the website, as well as during our public forum held via Zoom. And so I did get confirmation that that Barb does have the intention of having the document over for us to review by tomorrow. So we will have that available for our next meeting. So she has committed to that. She will be providing an edit version. I know that was a concern in the previous version to this version that there wasn't, but in light of the fact that this will be an edited version of one version to another, very clearly point A to point B, she has committed to providing an edited version so we can review the changes effectively and understand what changes have been made based on the recommendations. And so we will have that to look at the next meeting. So I think that Yeah, so I did I say Barb? I meant to say Madeline. If I said Barb, I apologize. There's a lot of names and acronyms there. So Madeline will be getting that to us. I apologize. To us by tomorrow. And so we'll be reviewing that. And then, like I said, I recommend that folks look at the documents that are attached to the agenda and provide any feedback or questions that you might have in regards to those. And then we will be able to, at the December 1st, have an edited version from Council's office to then review. We will have to review that and turn that around for the next meeting, the December 8th meeting, to make our recommendations based on that document. So sorry I went 1 minute over.
No, that's fine. Thank you so much, Brandon. And will Madeline be sending her updated draft to the CJC as well as the UA?
She didn't respond where she would send it. If she does send it to just myself, I will forward that out to yourself as well, Logan, so you can distribute that effectively.
Thank you very much. And I think that answers Robert Platt's question. So seeing as we've gone very much over time, and I'm really sorry, and thank you everyone so much for your patience, I am going to open the floor for a motion to adjourn.
I'll go ahead and motion to adjourn since I'm already unmuted.
And there is a second. Anyone in opposition? I didn't think so. So it is 6:21 p.m. and the meeting is officially adjourned. We went slightly over even the allocated time. Thank you so much, everyone, for spending so many Tuesdays together.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.